Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Gospel this morning is taken from Luke, the 15th chapter. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Friends in Christ Jesus, in particular, all the fathers and grandfathers here today, a happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. Father's Day, huh? We honor fathers. And being a father is not an easy task. You see that even when you study the scriptures. I mean, all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they have difficulty raising those kids and getting them straight. It's not an easy job. And there's sort of a spectrum in fathering, too, that you see. On the one end, at the extreme end, you have fathers that are afraid to be themselves with their children. They're afraid to ever really build a deep relationship with them. They're fearful that if they're too lenient, too lax, that the kids will run wild. And so they're very lax in praising. They're just very stern about everything. They've got all kinds of rules. Then you go to the other end of the spectrum and you have dads that they're afraid that if they guide their children at all that somehow they're going to scrunch them up, and so they're lax in discipline. They sort of let everything go. There's no rules and no regulations. And between those two extremes, there's the balance that we look for. And for you dads, especially you dads that have little ones at home yet, the best advice I can give to you is that you always love them, that you always hug them, that you always guide them, and that you always praise them. Those things go a long way in moving a child along on the path to growing up. But when we look at our gospel lesson for today, I got to ask you the question, what kind of an example of fatherhood do we have in this story? Now, usually we talk about the story as the the parable of the prodigal son, right? But I don't look at it that way anymore. I've come to realize that that parable is really less about that son than it is about the father. The father that I call the profligate father. What kind of an example does he give us today? So you start out in that story as Jesus is telling it. I want you to think about the audience Jesus is speaking to. They're Jewish. And they have all kinds of rules and regulations. They have all kinds of traditions. He's talking to a Jewish audience. And I want you to stop and think a little bit as we go through this today, how that story would have impacted on that first audience. So they start out, and all they can say is that as Jesus starts telling the story, they go, "That boy did what?" First thing, he comes to his father, the younger one, and he says to his father, "Father, give me my portion of the inheritance." Now, folks, when do you usually get an inheritance? It's when somebody dies, right? So what's he saying to dad? "I wish you were dead." I mean, how much straightforward could it be? He says, "I wish you were dead." Right there, that father should have smacked him down. A good, self-respecting Jewish father might even have stoned him right there. But no, the father gives him the third that's coming to him. And what does that boy do? He converts everything into cash, and he abandons his father and his family. Off he goes, I guess, to Las Vegas, you know, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He goes off to some place like that, and he squanders his money. Oh, well, he's got money. He's got lots of friends. When the money's gone, he's got no friends either. And now a famine comes. And now things start to go downhill even worse. Not only has this kid said these things to his father, not only has he abandoned his father and family, but now he finds himself hiring himself out to a citizen of that country. To do what? To feed pigs? The Jewish audience would have gone, "Oh, gross! How horrible! Can't think of a lower status in the world than being a pig herder if you're a Jewish boy." And that whole audience listening would have gone, "That kid did what? Oh, how gross! He's feeding pigs." You know what happens when you feed pigs, don't you? What do you smell like? You smell like pigs. If you've ever gone into a pigsty, your shoes will remind you for 2 weeks that you were in that pigsty. The smell of the pigs just permeates your clothes, your hair, everything else. Not only that, but his job is to feed the pigs. If you're going to feed the pigs, you got to get in there with the pigs. And so this boy smells like and would actually eat what the pigs are eating if somebody allowed him to do it. That's how low he's gone. And that audience that's hearing this, they've just got to be totally grossed out. What kind of a kid is this? They would have said, "What is this guy all about?" Now, says he comes to his senses. Well, what do you see in the boy? He comes up with a plan, doesn't he? But notice the plan, every part of the plan starts with one word. I'm sitting here starving while the hired men in my father's house have food to spare. I know what I will do. I will go back to my father and I will say to my father, "I no longer deserve to be your son. Make me as one of your hired hands." He's got the plan, but there's no humility in it. He's still going to go back and he's going to tell dad how it's got to work. That boy needed to be whipped, needed to be spanked, and in a Jewish sense, he needed to be stoned because he's a rebellious guy all the way around. He is a bad seed. But just when they think it can't get any worse in this story, now they got to say, "The father did what?" Because now it turns. Now we're not talking about the boy. Now we're talking about the dad and his response. And the first thing it says, he saw the boy far off. What's that tell you about that dad? What's that dad been doing? Every day he's been going out to the road and he's been looking up that road hoping that he would see that boy coming home. Now, as a Jewish father, he should have bitten his hand against his son. He should have said, "You are dead to me," and that should have been the end of it. But that's not how this father is. Every day he's been out there spending time at that road, looking up the road, hoping he'll see that boy come home. It's not the way a self-respecting Jewish dad should have been, but that's the way this one is. And now comes the day when he looks up the road and at a distance he sees his son coming. The very thing he's been longing for is happening. What should he have done? He should have gone into his house, barred the door, sicked the dogs on him. That's what he should have done. What's this dad do? Oh my gosh, the audience, as they're listening to Jesus, their mouths had to be hanging open. They got to go, he's doing what? It says he runs up the road to that boy. Now, in the Greek, it's even better because the word that's used there has the connotation you hike up your skirts and you run. Ladies, you tried to run in a long dress? Doesn't work very well, does it? You have to hike up your skirts to get your knees free so you can move. Well, that's what that father had to do. He takes his robes and he pulls them up and he unceremoniously runs up the road. All of his hired men would have seen this. And if there were any neighbors within eyesight, they would have seen him too. He hikes up his skirts and he runs down the road. How undignified can you get? And he runs up to that boy and that boy says, this always makes me laugh, the boy says, "Father, I am not worthy to be called your son." You think? Really? You're not worthy. That's probably the biggest understatement in the scriptures. I'm not worthy. You're darn right you're not worthy. But how does the father respond to that? Oh my word. He hugs that boy and kisses him. What's this boy smell like? What's he covered with? Pig dirt, pig manure. Oh, and here's the thing. That boy is horribly unclean. And when the father touches the unclean son, the father becomes unclean, ceremonially unclean. That dad could not have gone to the temple again until he went through a purification process because he touched this one who was unclean. But the father doesn't hesitate. He throws his arms around this one and he joins him in his uncleanliness. He makes himself one with that son. But he doesn't stop there, does he? Oh no, he not only hugs him and kisses him, but now he calls to these servants who have been watching this thing unfold, and these servants must be going, "What's he doing?" And he says, "Bring the best robe." It's a fantastic thing that the father does for that boy. Because when he puts that robe on him, he is doing what? He is covering his shame. He's covering up that pig dirt. He's covering up the dirt and the griminess. He's covering up the odor of it all. He's covering up that boy's shame. That's what our Heavenly Father does for us too. Whenever we have a funeral here, we cover the casket with a pall. The pall is the symbol of the white robe of Christ's righteousness. That's what God does for you and me. He covers up our shame and our sin. He covers us with the robe of Jesus' righteousness. We had a funeral yesterday for Mrs. Bennett. And at that funeral, Pastor read Revelation 7, where that guy says, "These in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from?" And he says, "Sir, I believe you know." And he says, "These are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's what the Father does for us. He covers us with that robe of righteousness. He covers our shame. So the Father says, bring the best robe and put it on him. But he's not done yet. And he says, and bring a ring and put it on his finger. You know what that ring is for? Ladies, that's Dad's credit card. That's Dad's credit card. That ring would have had it been a signet ring. It would have had an inscription on it. And that boy could go to any merchant around there and he could buy whatever and he could take his ring and put it in the clay or in the wax and that would have been the sign that Dad was covering that bill. And he's not done yet. And put sandals on his feet. Significance of the sandals? Slaves go barefoot. Sons have shoes. That father is totally restoring that son in his place. He's not saying to him, all right, you work for me 7 years and we'll see how it goes and then we'll see. He's not saying, you go out there in the fields and you work and maybe I'll give you something to eat later. He totally restores that boy and makes him son once again. He didn't deserve that. He didn't earn that. It is because of the Father's love for him that he does that. And oh, just to put the exclamation on it, he says, and kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a party. We're going to have a day to rejoice. That fatted calf, my mother told me that whenever they had a baptism or a confirmation in her family, my grandfather Mosner would see to it that they served veal at that party. He raised a calf and kept it in the stall when he knew there was going to be a confirmation for one of his kids. That calf became the dinner. They served veal. And I'm sure that was some kind of a German tradition, but I bet you it comes right out of the scriptures here. And when they were going to have a big party, when there was something special, the fatted calf went into the pan. Well, that's what he's doing here. The Father says, we're celebrating. And he says, and why are we celebrating? Because this son of mine was lost. And he's found again. This son of mine was dead. And he's alive. And so he celebrates. And the hearers, as they're listening to that, would have said, wow, what kind of a dad is this? What kind of a dad is this? Well, there's a point to this story, right? Jesus is teaching something about the kingdom. And he wants us to ask the question, what is the Heavenly Father doing? He's doing what? He forgives sinners. There's a parable just before this one in Luke. It's the parable of the lost coins. And at the end of that, Jesus says, and so it is in heaven that the angels in heaven rejoice whenever a sinner repents. Jesus is teaching you and me something about our Heavenly Father, how He is with us. Which one of you here has never been a prodigal? Yeah, didn't see any hands. I was hoping I would. We've all been a prodigal son. Jim, put your hand down. No, we've all been prodigal. We're prodigal on a regular basis. We also are given free will. That was the thing. The Father gives that portion to the boy because He wants that boy to love Him. God gives us free choice. He lays it out for us, but He does not twist arms. He doesn't make us do anything, but He wants us to come to Him out of love, out of the joy we have. And so Jesus is teaching us something here about the way our Heavenly Father is with us. The kingdom is full of grace and mercy and undeserved love. It's all about the way that God looks at you and me as His people, as His children, as His sons and daughters. He gives us free will, but He also has a promise. When you were baptized at a font like that, God said, now I am your father, you are my daughter, my son. And God never goes back on that promise. You and I, we can be the prodigal, we can roam off, we can run off, we can squander our blessings. But when we come to our senses, when we repent, when we come back and ask for his forgiveness, he pours it out on us. He is more profligate than the one, the profligate father in the story. And what was it that engendered all this? They were talking about Jesus and they said, oh my word, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They're talking about Jesus. That was their complaint. That's why he told these parables. They said, this Jesus guy, he sits down with tax collectors and prostitutes and lowlifes of all kinds. He eats with them. He sits at table with them. Ah, how gross. Do you know what Jesus is teaching? Like Father, like Son. Our Heavenly Father wants to be with us. He welcomes us as sinners. And he makes us his people, and he says, now, here with me in my kingdom. We don't deserve it. He pours it out on us because he loves us. I found out that that the Cherokee Nation, that when they had a coming of age rite for their boys, when you went from being a boy to being a man of the tribe, you had to go through an initiation, a rite of passage. And there were a number of tests that you had to go through, but the final one, the one that really decided whether you were up to being a man, is that your father would take you out into the forest, deep into the forest, but you were blindfolded the whole time. He would take you in the forest and he would sit you down on a fallen tree or on a stump, and you had to stay there all night in that place. You had to leave that blindfold on. You couldn't call out. You couldn't ask for help. You couldn't get up and run. You had to sit there all night long until the sun's rays shone through your blindfold in the morning. Now you imagine, you've been out in the woods after dark. It's a scary and weird place. All these animal noises. And in those days, you'd have had to worry about a bear or a panther or even your enemies finding out you were out there. And so this boy had to be stoic, courageous, and sit there all night long until the sun came up. So when the rays of the sun finally shone through the blindfold, he could take the blindfold off. And when he took off the blindfold, what do you think he saw? Sitting 20 feet away was his father, who had sat there quiet all night, guarding and protecting him while the boy went through this process. You and I have a Heavenly Father who in so many ways lets us know that he's watching over us, that he loves us, that he's guarding us, and that he wants us to be his. And so that prodigal father is just a picture of our prodigal God who pours out on us his gifts and his blessings because he loves us and says, I want you to be with me for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, Jesus has said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We see compassion, forgiveness, grace, and a steadfast devotion for his children. Your children, however, are rebellious, manipulative, and worldly, sinful prodigals. Yet you seek us out and you welcome us to repentance. Faith moves us to repentance. Move us to grace now to show some compassion towards our brothers and sisters with that same grace. Bless us to love with such boldness that sinners find welcome in Jesus, that they also might leave the life of a prodigal and come home to be with him. Dearest Jesus, we ask for your help to be with those who have faith, but they continue to suffer in heart, mind, body, and soul. Grant relief where relief may be offered. Grant wholeness in the midst of brokenness, and restore peace where there is war within. Heavenly Father, you have given authority to your people, and you have established nations to serve and bring order. Now in our age, we ask for that authority to be honored. We pray for evil intent to be undone and by the weight of its own selfish pursuits. We pray that our enemies would fall. We pray that for peaceful voices and for honest information. We pray for our president and for our Congress to be made wise in a way that truly blesses the nation. Bring to our congregation and our fellow Christians wisdom that makes us an example to our communities, that would inspire love for our neighbor and a healthy patriotism that unites us together. Be with those who protect us. Pray, Lord, that they would honor their Lord as they serve their country. Help us above all to answer the call of our Savior, that we may always be focused on Him in a way that we bring Him all of the attention that He deserves. And Lord, we lift up all for whom we pray now, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let me take a moment to invite you personally to join us for worship at Grace. We have two services at 8 and 10:30 each Sunday morning with Sunday school and Bible classes in between. You'll find a warm and loving group of believers at Grace ready to welcome you into our family. If you enjoy these broadcasts or you'd like more information about Grace Lutheran Church, check out our website, mygracelutheran.com. And please join us in person later this morning. We're located at 1787 Klerner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. Hope to see you soon. Meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.